timeless principles actually work in any industry, any sales team, no matter what you're selling. And it's a better answer than the quick fix gimmicks and technology, the hacks that everybody seems to be subscribing to today.
That was the voice of Nigel Green, a sales leadership coach and author of Revenue Harvest, explaining how healthcare companies can leverage old-fashioned sales strategies to find greater success. You're listening to How I Transform This, presented by Versus 12. Versus 12 is the award-winning Salesforce Gold consulting partner focused on healthcare innovation nationwide. In this episode, Nigel shares the 7 principles he's learned from farming and how they apply to the sales world. He also explains why using tools like Salesforce to simplify and interpret data will be the key to a successful future in the healthcare industry.
Because everybody has to make tough decisions. Wouldn't it be great if you could leverage the data that exists, harness that so that you can make the most informed decision?
I'm your host, Clark Buckner, and along with Versus 12 founder and CEO Tammy Hawes, each episode we're seeking out healthcare technology industry leaders, exploring stories of success through the transformation of healthcare. For more stories like this, visit versus12.com/podcast. Now let's jump in.
Hi, my name is Nigel Green, and I work with sales leaders to help them build best-in-class sales teams.
Nigel, welcome. I'm so excited to have you here in the studio.
Yes, and I'm so excited, too. I've known you for a while, and you are a true thought leader when it comes to how to actually execute on sales strategy and the importance of tools and technology and people. So I'm really excited to hear what you have to say today.
Well, I'm excited to be here, and this has been a long time coming, and I'm really excited to be here with you and Clark today.
Thank you. And here on How I Transform This, oftentimes we're hearing, big picture strategy. We're hearing about transformation and innovation. But what I'm really excited with you is to hear the tactical and to really dig into some of these tips and tricks and strategies that really work, and especially in something we all experience, sales, one way or another. So I'm really eager to dive in. So the format Tammy and I like to use is just what we call past, present, future. And so real quick, we'd love to hear a little recap of your past, and then we're going to jump into today and where things are. And then maybe what you're anticipating the future to look like with sales, with the work that you do. So that might be a good place to kind of jump right in if that works for you.
So Clark, I'm glad you mentioned tips and tricks because we live in a world of fast fix technology. Everybody's looking for the next thing that's going to give them some competitive advantage. I'm 36, which is, I'm still a young man in this game, but I learned under a lot of timeless principles. So when I got started, I worked in a sales training program at Northwestern Mutual, which has been around for hundreds of years and still subscribes to the old fashioned selling style of it's a numbers game. It's more science than it is art. Yes, you have to be relatable, but you have to do the work. And I think that that's what served me well along the way. So I started out in financial services. It taught me a lot about relating to people, but it wasn't what God put me here to do. I found my way down to Jacksonville, Florida, working for healthcare companies on the device and physician side. So I worked with McKesson Physician Sales and Services and more on the MedSurg and acute side. That moved me to Nashville, and me and my wife, Becky, to Nashville in 2010. Was leading a sales team for Professional Hospital Supply. We sold custom procedure trays into hospitals and surgery centers. Medline bought that business in 2012, and I wanted to go start a sales team on my own. I'd kind of amalgamated principles and practices from great leaders, and I knew what not to do from some bad leaders. And I felt like I had a recipe for how to lead a team well. And I got my first chance to do that at Foundations Recovery Network. And so from 2012 through 2016, built and led a sales team that effectively tripled the size of a business over 3 years. So the great thing about that experience at Foundations Recovery Network is it affirmed for me that timeless principles actually work in any industry, any sales team, no matter what you're selling. And it's a better answer than the quick fix gimmicks and technology, the hacks that everybody seems to be subscribing to today.
It's interesting you say that because sometimes in healthcare, especially on the provider space, they shy away from saying business development or sales because it is all relationship, but relationships are just part of the equation because you've actually got to execute on the sales strategy. So I love the fact that you say it's very scientific and it's a process. So tell us more about that.
Well, the whole purpose of the business is to create a customer. And for most of our customers in healthcare, that is a patient. They have a clinical service or something in and around clinical services. So if we don't have patients, we don't have a business. So I try to encourage people that the S word is not as dreaded as you might think. Everybody sells, your clinicians are selling, whether it's to try to convince them, their patients to adopt a treatment protocol, to eat better, to take this medication. Everybody has something that they're trying to sell. That said, it is very formulaic, and the tools, there are tools today that exist that make the science of selling easier. And I think that that's where Versus 12 has done a good job of separating themselves from other technology implementers, is that you get the other business side of it. And it's not, there is, just by implementing Salesforce, it's not going to make your sales team work. It's not going to fix your revenue problems. It's going to help you make more informed decisions, but it's not going to fix it.
Well, you had really great success at Foundations Recovery. So tell us your secret formula there.
Well, I don't know that it's a secret, but I believe that you build a team based on what I call the three C's: character, chemistry, and competency. Where most companies get it wrong is they start with competency. They go out and they hire people that are certainly very capable of doing the work that's described in the job description, but they may not have the character. They may not have the values that the company was built on, or that they may not buy into the vision that the founder has cast, or they don't have chemistry. They're not someone you want to be around. And if you don't want to spend time with them, it's not going to work, because you're going to spend more time with your sales team than you might with your spouse or your significant others and friends. And so getting that chemistry piece is right. And so we built a team and a culture around character, chemistry over competency. Then you overlay that with the seven farming principles that I talk about in my book, Revenue Harvest. And those principles I just stole from our friends in the farming community. You know, every year a grower has to produce a crop. Doesn't matter if it's too cold, if it's too hot, if there's too much rain, if there's not enough rain. It doesn't matter what the market's doing, who else is growing that. They have to produce a crop. Every year, sales leader, she has to hit her number. The board doesn't care if you're under-resourced. The board doesn't care what the competitive landscape is. If she doesn't hit her number, she's not going to last very long. So what we can do is we can take these seven things that farmers do. They plan well. They position well. They understand the importance of preparing their team, whether that be the labor, training, for all the different aspects that go into producing a crop or cattle, ranching. Then they plant, then they tend, and then they harvest. Most of us just spend so much time focusing on the harvest, we forget the other five to six steps. And then after the harvest, you have to restore and you have to rest. And if you don't do that, you can only take so much out of the ground before it gives up and says, I got nothing else for you. So good farmers that produce consistent results year in and year out know how to put back in the land. And I think that's what we did well at Foundations. We use the data to inform, when are the slow seasons? Because you can't just run on all cylinders 12 months a year. Because if you do that, you go into the next selling year tired, exhausted, trying to account for, did we hit our numbers last year? Got to do a new comp plan. We got a new product to roll out. If you don't build in time to rest and restore your team, you're just not going to make it.
That's fascinating how you've overlaid that with what farmers do.
I think farming is, I don't know, arguably one of the older professions, and it's certainly one that has been subjected to disruption from technology. I mean, now they have GPS-guided tractors and combines and drones to do aerial footage, but they still find a way to get it done. They leverage technology, and I think that's the point of what Versus 12 is doing, is saying technology is not going to fix your problems, but it might give you a chance to make more informed decisions.
And give you a competitive advantage.
Yes. Yeah. Because everybody has to make tough decisions. Wouldn't it be great if you could leverage the data that exists, harness that so that you can make the most informed decision?
So you had wild success at Foundations Recovery, and then you've done a couple other things that have led you to where you are now.
That's right. And so I have spent, since 2016, spent my time in and out of working with high-performing management teams. I've been outside of healthcare, found my way back, and realized that I really just care passionately about this industry and only want to work primarily with healthcare teams. So I work with investors, executives, and sales leaders to help them think about ways to get to that next level of sales growth. Oftentimes, there's a new investor, there's an injection of capital, there's a new product, there's a merger, and what worked to get us here may not be the play we need to run to get us where we want to go. And so it's just helpful to have an extra set of eyes and ears to come in on those strategic initiatives, and that's what I love doing.
That reminds me of a book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There, or something like that.
Somebody told me once, nothing fails like success.
That's pretty good.
So maybe it's something along those lines.
Yeah.
Earlier, you're talking about how everyone craves those fast fixes, and it's loud and clear what I'm hearing you say, Nigel. You just got to do the work. And so you've laid out this 7-step plan, and Tammy was asking, like, are there any secrets? And you're like, well, they're not really secrets, but something I think we can all agree that surprises, at least it surprises me, is that intentional, you must rest. So do you feel like that one, or is there another one that is most commonly overlooked in this cycle?
Yeah, so the principle that I think probably most well applies to the work that Versus 12 is doing would be tending. There's this misconception that if we go plant seeds, if we go hit our prospecting number, if we put enough out there, that miraculously we're going to show up in 100 days and we're going to have revenue to harvest. Well, if you don't tend to the plants, if you don't eliminate weeds, pests, in the forms of weeds and pests in the business world, competitive threats, disengaged employees, not truly knowing what your KPIs are, measuring the wrong thing, it's going to be a woeful harvest season. And so the way that we leveraged the technology we had through Versus 12 at Foundations Recovery Network was we created what I call an accounts review. And I talk about this in the book, but it really was birthed during our season together at Foundations. And to me, an accounts review is a performance review. It's a pipeline review. It's a forecast review. It's all in one review. And the data's right there to do it. What it says is we're going to assign the numbers that we expect in revenue, widgets sold, whatever that holy grail metric is, and we're going to assign it to the accounts that we expect will contribute it to it. You can slice the periods however you want, year, quarter, week, month, and it allows for the rep to participate in the forecast, to own the number, and it doesn't feel like it's a top-down, Nigel made up these numbers, nobody's going to hit them. They get it. It's a collaborative approach, and it's a data-informed approach, and the power is right there if you know how to use it to inform those coaching conversations and not just let it be a dashboard that we refresh every day when we open up our email at 6:30 in the morning.
I call that more of a rifle approach than a shotgun approach. You were very focused about the accounts you were going to go after and what you expected from those accounts.
Yes, and being very clear on how we define an account. So I think that any entity that has the ability to do business or transact with you is an account, and you just they come in different stages. They have suspects, prospects, active, inactive, strategic. The nomenclature really doesn't matter, but anyone that could buy that meets some type of qualification standard, we have to measure and we have to tend to them and make sure that the activity that we're outputting into the market matches the goals that we expect in the harvest.
So you guys went specifically after other organizations that could refer patients to you. And there may have been at that time a little direct-to-consumer as well. But there's a lot of talk in healthcare now about, yes, we will always have these referrals, but there's a lot of re-architecting to go direct to patient. Do you have any ideas about that in the book or just personally?
So in the book, we talk about the buy-sell hierarchy. And what the buy-sell hierarchy says is that there are 5 levels of providers in the B2B selling world. So this is relating to the other businesses that would refer patients to you, not the direct-to-consumer, but the B2B side. Most providers, most companies that have something to offer exist on the 3rd level or lower. So they sell very highly on features and benefits and pricing. Well, those companies that stand the test of time are level four and level five providers. So they make contributions into their customers' business. They help them solve their problems. And if you can't find a way to teach your sales team to solve the problems of your customers, you probably should abandon B2B and go direct to consumer. And we're finding that in the direct to consumer space, specifically in healthcare, patients are more open to talking about what they have. There's less anonymity. You know, specifically, you know, in the substance use and behavioral healthcare world, it was very taboo. You didn't talk about it. So the idea of going direct to consumer had to exercise a lot of discretion. But now we're seeing that potential patients will chat. They will let you call them at work. They're not as sensitive about expressing what it is they may be struggling with. So I think you're going to see more of a wave to direct to consumer. And it doesn't mean that you won't need a sales team to help influence that patient to make a decision. It's just the selling is very different in those spaces.
That's fascinating.
I love it. That's good, good stuff. So these are all really good examples. I love it. So the name of the book, one more time, what is it?
Revenue Harvest, a sales leader's almanac for planning the perfect year.
It's fantastic. And before I forget, how can someone get the book, connect with you, all the above?
Yeah, thank you for asking. So you can buy the book anywhere books are sold, Amazon, iTunes. I read the audiobook, so if you want to listen to an old Southern redneck read it to you. Yeah, absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah, so you can have me in your ear for 4 hours and 30 minutes, I think. Or you can go to therevenueharvest.com and buy the book. We sell it there in any format that you want. Here's why I want you to go there. If you go there, I'll give it to you at a discount, always and forever. It'll always be cheaper at therevenueharvest.com than you can get it at Kindle and the iTunes store or at Amazon. And I do that because you're going to give me your email address and I'm going to stay in touch with you and give you more stuff. There are a lot of freebies that come with the book that you will get in addition just by buying it at therevenueharvest.com. I even have, if you buy five or more copies, I will give you or your team an hour of my time to talk about whatever the heck you want to talk about.
That's fantastic. And this is, I think, is a good segue to one of the final questions that we like to talk about here on the podcast. And really, it's just the future. And I'd love to ask you specifically just the role technology plays in the future, maybe how that plays a role in sales. Kind of as we're starting to wrap up here, what do you think is on the horizon on the future?
I think it's her name, Marie Kondo, The Simplified Life. Or what's her book that came out?
Oh. That sounds familiar.
She has a Netflix special.
Yes, it's been taking this country by storm.
We may want to put that in the show notes or whatever, but here's the point. She is helping everyone simplify and declutter their life. I meet with very smart, talented executives every week in my consultancy that have so much data, they don't know how to make a decision. The analogy that I use to try to paint this picture, imagine if you're walking down the terminal and you're about to step right into the plane and you look to your left into the cockpit and you overhear the pilot say, "Wow, look at all these gauges." There are so many CEOs that pull up their Salesforce dashboards to me and they're looking at the altimeter to tell me how much gas is in the tank. They don't know how to read their dashboards. So I think the future of technology is really finding a partner like Versus 12 that can help you walk through what it is that you need to measure and ignore the rest, because it's so sexy to create a new dashboard, run this new report, and you waste all this time and energy building out customization and nobody looks at it. Or if they do, they don't know how to make sense of it. They're looking at the altimeter to see how much gas is in the tank. And that's just a result of too much information.
Yep. And not focusing on the key metrics.
Exactly. And it really takes a special company, partner, individual that understands how to use technology to do it. Because most software companies are going to take your money and go build your dashboard and let you tell them what you want. The real cautionary tale here is for everyone listening is to make sure you find a partner that's going to push back and ask you, what are you doing with this data? What is the end result? What does life look like as a result of these dashboards? How are you going to make decisions out of it? And that's what you guys do really well.
Thank you. Yeah, we like to really add value and not just blow through what we call take orders.
Yeah.
Well, Nigel, as always, it is just fascinating to hear your thoughts and your comments. You've obviously had a lot of success, so you're someone we need to be listening to. And thank you for taking the time to chat with us today.
It's been my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to How I Transform This, Success Stories of Transformation in Healthcare, presented by Versus 12. To learn more about how Versus 12 is best situated to transform the healthcare industry, and to follow along with this show, be sure to visit versus12.com/podcast. We'll see you next time.